If you can turn to that passage that Gene just read from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Boy, what a great morning together. I'm glad that you're here with us and joining with us. We're going to take a little break from our teaching in 1 Corinthians 13 and our Love Is series. Take a break for Mother's Day. Feels like that would be a good time for us to stop and honor and encourage our moms. And I want to look in on this story of a young wife by the name of Hannah. And that story is found in this text in 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you want to open your Bible to that page. One of the great prophets in the nation of Israel was a guy by the name of Samuel. And in this chapter, we're introduced to his mom, Hannah, and also his dad, Elkanah. But the focus is really on Hannah, and dad kind of takes a backstage in this story. We find out in 1 Samuel 1 that Hannah is a clearly unusual lady. I think she's a lady that really had it together, and God blessed her in a remarkable way. If you're not familiar with her story, I think that you're going to be blessed by it this morning, the faith of this young lady by the name of Hannah. I was thinking about this. God has really blessed Harvest with some great families. We had a chance to see just a little portion of it here this morning in front of you. Actually, in the first service, we had a similar group of families. And across this room, I just am so thankful for the families that love God, love His Word, care about the things that He cares about. We have some godly men, and men are the foundation, and they're committed to God and living with eternal priorities, which is really significant. And then we have some ladies who I just believe have an unusual spiritual sensitivity and a heart for God, and they're just interspersed all throughout our church family, and it's an amazing blessing. I think that Hannah's story here in this chapter has a powerful message that will help us and encourage us, and I think help and encourage you individually and personally. I hope that you'll really tune into the lessons that we can learn from her story. We're going to talk specifically to moms this morning on Mother's Day, but I believe that there'll be applications for all of us in multiple ways. So in verse 1, we're introduced to Elkanah, and I'd read the verse, but there's some totally strange names in that verse, and so I'm going to skip it. But I'm going to pick up, you can read it on your own. I'm going to pick it up in verse 2, where the story really begins. And Elkanah, excuse me, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly, every year, to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. That just gives us a little sense into the spiritual atmosphere of this time, because if you know anything about Old Testament history, Eli and his two sons, particularly the two sons Hophni and Phinehas, were not good guys. In fact, look at chapter 2 and verse 12. I won't read it, but they're not good guys, and they actually created a lot of spiritual trials for the nation of Israel. And that's the context, the culture with which this story is being brought to us. So we have Elkanah, and he has two wives. The verse is very clear about that, which, by the way, is not God's plan. We have some illustrations in the Old Testament of multiple wives, and I just tell you that from the beginning, God's plan in the Bible was one man, one woman for life. And that was the story that we find throughout the scriptures. Not everybody adhered to that. And so we have some examples of that. There's a longer context with it. Peninnah has children, but Hannah does not. And every year, the whole family makes a visit to Shiloh to worship God. Elkanah, from all accounts is a godly spiritual man that wants to lead his family well. And so yearly he brings them to Shiloh and to worship and to sacrifice to God. Verse 4, keep reading. And when the time was come that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. Your translation might say a double portion or an extra portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. As we keep reading, we're going to keep reading in this chapter. I want you to notice the indications throughout that Hannah just had this compelling personality. You know, you can probably think of some people, and just by virtue of their genuineness and the purity of their personality, that you're drawn to them. And I get the idea that Hannah was someone like that. Someone that you would feel like, this could be a friend. This is somebody that I could relate to. But here's the thing, and it's a big part of her story, that is that Hannah can't have children. I love it how the Bible speaks to so many of life's key difficulties, and it gives us important examples. Sometimes it's easy to think of the heroes in the Bible that were somehow different than we are. We might think that it's tough to relate to them because their lives were so perfect and their culture was so different than ours. But actually, I think the Bible describes it exactly the opposite. The Bible is filled with real people with real problems who face them with real faith. And if you read the Bible, if you study it, that's what you're going to find. Throughout the pages, there's people just like you and just like me who go through difficulties just like we do. And the Bible doesn't hide from that. It doesn't run from it. For anybody who's experienced not being able to have children, you know that it's very hard. And it might not just be for infertility, it could be for lots of reasons. Lots of girls grow up dreaming about having a child one day and what that will be like in the dream of that experience. And when that dream isn't realized or it's delayed, you know, that can come with deep disappointment. So for some people, Mother's Day can be hard. As we celebrate it today, rightly so, we want to do it with great joy and great encouragement for families and moms, but we do also understand that not everybody has the same types of joy when we come to this day. And, you know, that's the thing about the Bible. It's not silent on tough stuff like this. There's figures throughout the Bible of women that weren't able to have children. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, the Shunammite woman, Elizabeth, and some others. And for these women that the Bible brings their story up, infertility was a significant part of their stories and the stories of the Bible. It doesn't run from it. Let's keep reading in verse 6. Listen to this. And her adversary, all right, so Hannah's adversary, Peninnah, also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. I mean, as sweet and compelling as the story of Hannah is, Peninnah is the polar opposite. Peninnah is not a nice lady. I call her Meanie Panini. And verse 6 says that she provoked her. In fact, verse 7 is the same word. And it literally means to cause her thunder. That's the word. Cause her thunder. She literally, you talk about a mean personality, she's trying to get her to blow her top. Trying to get Hannah to lose it. And she just kept at it year after year. But you know, as far as we know, Hannah just sweetly bears the ridicule. There's no indications of payback. There's no indications of harsh words back at Peninnah. And in fact, not only does Hannah have this irritating woman living in her house, it seems like her husband doesn't really get it either. Look at verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Now, I'm not too sure if I have this completely right, but it sounds like Elkanah sees her crying, and he actually already knows why she is crying, but he doesn't know what to say, and he's trying to come up with something that will help her. So he says, and men, I would not recommend this approach. He says to her, "Baby, you got me. What more could you want? I mean, 10 sons would not be better than me." And, you know, Elkanah loved Hannah. Ladies, sometimes the guy just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. And more importantly, when you're hurt and when you're crying, sometimes he just doesn't know what to say. And what he does say tends to come out wrong and insensitive. And we're not excusing that. Guys, we got to be better. We got to figure out what to say that will really help. I'm just saying, it happens. So what does a godly woman do in these circumstances? Let me tell you what Hannah does. It's such a compelling, cool testimony, and I think it has powerful applications to every mother here this morning, really to every person. Verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul. She was deeply distressed. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, remember the priest, marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, "How long will you be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. You know, there's so many things that I think we can learn from this passage. I want to encourage every lady here with two applications. Number one is this: if you want to be a woman of faith, make a commitment to pray. Hannah had some problems. Very difficult living situation, right next to an unkind and a spiteful woman. She had a husband who may have loved her, but just wasn't that great at providing the emotional support that she needed, and really the spiritual support that she needed. So Hannah had some problems, but she didn't shut down. She didn't lash out at those around her. She didn't wallow in self-pity. She expressed her faith in prayer. She took it to God. I want to clarify to you that there is nothing that you can do more important to your family than become a woman of prayer. And if you're looking for some help in how to pray, there are at least three principles that you ought to put into practice from Hannah's example here. Number one, God honors moms who pray passionately. Hey, don't be afraid to express your heart to God in prayer. Look again at verse 10. And she was in the bitterness of soul, in deeply distressed, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Verses 12 and 13 describe what happens. I mean, Hannah prayed so passionately that Eli, the priest, thought that she must be drunk. And her tears were mingled with her prayers. You know, I don't know if you've experienced this. When God breaks your heart about something, your prayers change, don't they? The kind of prayer that arises from the bitterness of the soul is far different than the dry prayers that I sometimes utter. You see, when tears are in our eyes, our prayer comes from our heart. You know, most moms and dads are very passionate about their kids. Sports and grades and education, music and fine arts. So, moms, dads, how passionate have your prayers been for your kids? You know, I'm sure that you've said, you know, Lord bless Johnny and bless Susie. Protect him from harm. But have you really prayed? I mean, poured out your heart in prayer. We pour out our hearts in all kinds of ways for our kids. I've been around you guys in soccer games. I know what it's like to sit in the stands at volleyball. I know what it's like to sit in here and watch your kids up performing in the choir and the orchestras. I mean, we are passionate, passionate about our kids. So my question is, have you prayed with the same kind of energy and passion? It's significant, I think, that verse 12 says she kept on praying. This wasn't just a passing, you know, hey, something's going on today, I'm going to pray for my kids. I mean, this was a continued praying, an extended prayer. Is that your story? I mean, from the life of your kids, have you continued in the type of prayer that I think this is talking about? Number two, God honors moms who pray specifically. Hannah prayed for a son, according to verse 11. I might add that according to recent research, she maybe should have prayed for a girl. Because research shows that boys actually shorten the lifespan of mothers. In fact, you're going to really want to hear this. A study in Biology Letters found that a woman's risk of death increased by 7% per year for each son born. I'm not joking. Another study reported that for every son a woman had, her lifespan decreased by 34 weeks. If you want to check my stats, the February 2013 edition of Nature magazine. This is the leading scientific journal, right? Any scientists here? Nature magazine, leading scientific journal. Here's the title: Having Sons Can Shorten a Woman's Life Expectancy. How many of you mothers in here have a son? Go ahead and raise your hand. How many of you have more than one? Keep your hand up. You guys are in trouble. We're just going to have the hearse following behind you all of the time. And in fact, any of you boys in here, any of you guys in here, you ought to make sure that you give a big thanks to your mom here today. Because guess what? The fact that you are alive is taking 34 weeks off the end of her life. You better call her up and tell her thank you. Hey, Hannah prayed for a son. But not just a son, listen to this, but one that would grow up to be a servant of God. And she said, look at verse 11 again, this child, this boy will be yours, God. I will give him to you. Listen, there's no reason for us to be vague in our prayers. Pray specifically. I'm not sure how moved God is when we pray, you know, Lord, bless Matt and Bryn and Amanda and Tyler, these are my kids, and Tyler and Kara and Nate and Emily. In Jesus' name, amen. I mean, that's good. But I wonder if we ought to get more specific than that. I wonder if it'd be better if we thought through the lives of each of our kids and we thought about their strengths and their weaknesses and then pray specifically for them for that. What if we had a place in your prayer journal where you're praying for specific character traits for your children and maybe some weak spots that you might see that you're asking God to help strengthen in their life, or maybe some strengths that you see in your children that you're asking God to really build up for them. And some of you moms aren't really going to love this, but I would encourage you, don't pray that God would give them an easy path. Now, I'll admit, there have been times in my life when I know my kids are going through some hard times that I will call out to God, God, could you relieve them from this pain that they're going through, whatever, you know, that is right now. But I tell you that my prayers almost always continue with, but God, more than that, I'm just asking, please don't give them anything that is one step harder than they absolutely need. Because it'll be the hard parts of the journey that will shape their character. If they'll let it, those are the parts that will build endurance and grit into their life. So parents, your job is not to keep them from all the hardships. In fact, it'll be those moments that drive them to Jesus, right? And isn't that what we want? And I want to encourage you, like Hannah, would you tell God that these kids are his and not yours? And you give them to him. And you pray that they would grow up to serve God with their whole hearts, and then you launch them out. Moms, dads, don't you hold on to them. If you're going to pray, I want to ask you, pray, God, would there be a generation of young people from Harvest that would launch out of here to serve God with everything that they've got? But listen, we can't hold on to them then. I'm convinced that there's something special about men praying. I love to be around godly men who are praying passionately with all of their hearts. But listen, there are few things that grab the ear of God like a praying mother. And praying grandmothers. I really believe that much of all of the good things in my life are the product of some godly women who have prayed for me throughout my life. In the early 2000s, I lost two of my biggest prayer warriors for my life. My mom died 25 years ago, just very close to now, 25 years ago. It's unbelievable for me to understand that it's been that long. And my grandma, my dad's mom, died a few years after that. It wasn't long after that. And I'm telling you the truth, there are some days when I think I can feel that loss. For 30 some years of my life, maybe 35 years of my life, from the time I was born, I mean the day I was born, even before I was born, every day of my life, those godly ladies were bringing my name before the throne of God. And not just my name, they were praying specifically for me and for my character and for my future. Praying specifically and passionately for me and my family. And I'll tell you that there was, you know, some time after my mom and my grandma passed away, our family went through some difficult days, and sometimes I wondered, man, how much I could use my mom and my grandma's prayers right now. A couple years ago, I had this thought. I think I've shared this before, and this was freeing for me, really super helpful. You know, there is no expiration date on prayers. I've got my grandma's prayers stored up. I know that she prayed for me every single day. I mean, there may have been a few minor misses. I've spent enough time with my grandma to know that every single morning she was around her table with my grandpa praying for me and my brothers and my sisters and my cousins and my parents and my uncles and my aunts, because I would sit there. I couldn't believe they could pray so long. There's a lot of people in our family. But you know what? There's no expiration date on prayers. Those 40 years of prayers, those are stored up. I got enough of my grandma's prayers to last me, I'm pretty sure. Wouldn't that be something if there were some ladies, some moms, and some grandmas that walked out of here this morning just like Hannah, burdened and committed to prayer for these kids? And maybe not just your own. I was thinking, you know, there are some kids in here for lots of different reasons. They likely don't have any mom or grandma or auntie praying for them. What would happen if some of you ladies said, man, I'll take on that job. I will gladly. Give me some names. Let me pray. Man, I'm so burdened for our teens. This is a tough world that these teens are growing in. And our college students, we've got grads going out tonight. I'm going to talk with you at the end of the service about this. But, you know, high school grads and 12 college grads, they're going out. And it can be a tough world out there. This has got to be a place with how awesome it would be if some moms and some grandmas and some aunties said, I'll pray. I'm going to pray. Number three, God honors moms who pray expectantly. Hannah really believed that she had a great God and he was going to answer. Look down at verse 18. This is really cool. When she had poured out her heart and she prayed specifically and she prayed passionately, then her burden was lifted and her heart was no longer sad and she could eat. All of that meanie panini mockery and scorn and hurtful teasing, all of the people that really didn't understand, and all of her own emptiness and the dreams of life that were left unfulfilled, that just seems like that got left there at the temple. Why? Well, she left her burdens with God. She carried them with her into God's house. And then she prayed passionately and specifically and fervently. And then she left them there and she walked out with an uplifted heart. That's amazing. Joseph Scriven in 1855, 150 years ago, more than that, said, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Well, Hannah's story tells us that if you want to be a woman of faith, make a commitment to pray. And it also says if you want to be a woman of faith, make a commitment to persevere. Though it's a little more subtle, there's a second theme that I see through this story, aside from prayer, and it's the theme of perseverance. A real strength of character. You know, a mom has to have a different kind of strength. A kind of strength that can handle and endure the toddler years. Kind of strength that carries the weights of the emotions and the fears and the dreams of our kids along with us. So perseverance, the strength to keep going, I'm confident that it's one of the most necessary traits of every good mother. And it was evident all through Hannah's testimony. When God closed Hannah's womb and she had no children, she persevered. She trusted God. When Panini wouldn't stop her verbal assault year after year, Hannah persevered. When Elkanah didn't understand, Hannah persevered. And listen to this. When she gave her vow to God and God answered her prayer and he gave her a son, you can read it in verses 19 through 23, Hannah did this. Verse 24, read this with me. "And when she had weaned him, Samuel, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and she brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, 'O my Lord, as your soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord.' And he, Samuel, worshipped the Lord there." Can you imagine this, moms? You've prayed for this child for years, and God answers your prayers, and you nurture your baby boy for 2 or 3 years, and then you release him to God. You talk about strength, about perseverance. Moms, you have a big job and you're in it for the long haul. I mean, once you start, there's no timeouts, right? Wouldn't that be great? And if you're gonna fulfill your responsibility, you're gonna need a double dose of perseverance. You're gonna have to make a commitment to persevere in the good days and in the bad days. The days when being a mother is fantastic and the days when being a mother is nothing less than just plain old hard work. So one of the lessons of Hannah's life is this, that strength of character is often forged in the barren times of life. Everybody across this room, mark that down. Put it down someplace in your life. Because you're going to experience barren times. This is the place and the spaces where God is at work, forging into your heart and into your life the strength of character that will help you endure, will help you persevere. I'll have Andrew come to the piano. So, if you are going through a tough time and you feel empty and disappointed. Disappointed in life, disappointed in people, maybe even disappointed with God. I want to just tell you this morning, don't lose hope. God is working. God is working. And what he's doing is he's building something. I don't know if there might be some moms here this morning and you just feel overwhelmed. Maybe some single moms. It's a heavy load. I get it. Some moms with young kids. I mean, you know the energy that it takes every day. Maybe some moms who've been in it for a while, but right now in this season of your life, your kids, they just aren't making the right choices. I want to encourage you this morning, persevere. Pray and persevere. Pray and persevere. Pray and persevere. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't quit. And if you do, you'll experience God's blessings on your life. So moms, do you have a testimony like Hannah? This message, by the way, isn't the entire mother package. You're going to have to mix in some other ingredients. But don't try to do it without at least these two ingredients. Make a commitment to pray and make a commitment to persevere. Start with that. And God will honor you. And God will bless. Would you bow your heads with me? With everybody's heads bowed and just taking a couple minutes of personal inspection and personal inventory. Can I ask you a couple of questions? This is just between you and God. What if there's some that you would say, I'm really pressed by God's Spirit this morning about this idea of prayer. I'm not really asking about who feels the need to pray more, because every Christian always feels that. That's not really the point. But maybe specifically some that would say, I want to make a commitment to God this morning to pray. If you ladies, I mean, if we had a whole group of ladies that said, yeah, that's me, I'm in, I'm telling you, it will change your families. Prayer's powerful. It's so powerful. Some of you may be here and you've been trying to do this mom thing alone without God, or this dad thing alone. Can I just remind you that you are in for a whole lot of unnecessary trouble? The only way that Hannah was able to handle the setbacks of her life was by total reliance on God. So maybe your testimony is that I've been trying to do this mom or this dad thing alone without God, and I need to give up on my own efforts and let God have my life. I wonder if there's some this morning that's your step. You feel the Holy Spirit's presence just kind of pressing down into your chest, into your heart. I want to tell you, before you leave here, just talk with God. God, this is it. I need your help. I give up on my own efforts. Here's my life. It's going to be you and me from here on out. Maybe there's some, you're just saying, man, I'm just so overwhelmed. I need some help. And I know that help will only come from God. So just before you go, I just want to encourage you to talk with God. You might say something like this: Dear God, I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I realize that my strength is not enough, and I need your help. Would you show me what you want me to do? And with your help, I'll commit to do it. Father, I pray, would you take your word? Would you grow us? Grow us to be like your Son. Help us to see you in all of your majesty, in all of your goodness. Help us to fully rely on you and stop trying to do it on our own. I pray for some, I know across this room, that you're breaking their hearts. I pray that you would not break it without giving true hope for a better future. Would that hope be found in you? Would they find help in you and in the family of God that wants to walk along beside them and help them in the journey? So Lord, we thank you for examples like Hannah. What an amazing lady. Her life transformed a nation. You used her son, Samuel, in powerful ways for the truth. I pray that that would be true here. Would you grow up a generation of young Samuels in the homes of mothers who pray passionately and fervently and specifically so that we could impact the world that you've called us to reach with the gospel. Thank you for teaching us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.